Hello, everyone. Welcome to a brand new show here on the Outlaw Nation channel. Incredibly excited to introduce you to John and Wendy Explain the World. I am one half of that John and Wendy Explain the World. I'm the Outlaw John Rocha, joined by the great Wendy Lee Zaney. Wendy, how are you?
Hello, hello. I'm doing good. It was a nick of time. I had a service person come out to check out our AC unit today, and they said they were going to be here in the morning, and then it was like maybe, 40 minutes ago, they're like, hi, we're here. I'm like, oh, okay. Let me drop everything I'm doing right now and take care of this.
Maybe they had to come at the nick of time because they wanted to watch this thing. So they wanted to make sure they were available.
Absolutely. They needed to be like front row seat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're gonna get into so many things. Well, you look fantastic. Is this one of your geek wear that you showcase on your channel?
This is a, as you can tell, Monster Zero. Oh wait, hold on. I'm mirrored. There we go. Ghidorah.
Nice.
And it says Kaiju on the sleeves. And this is by Hero Within.
Oh wow. Okay.
Geek brand Hero Within. They have tons of stuff for men and women.
Ooh.
Really trendy, really cool. They have a sick Wonder Woman denim jacket that I won't stop wearing.
Nice. Okay. That's awesome.
What's on your shirt now that we're talking?
This is Killmonger. This is Killmonger. I show him respect for some Black Panther love. Yes, some Wakanda Forever love after those Marvel trailers. So, you know. Yeah, yes, Sean. It's Killmonger. I'm sure you can tell. Sean's like leaning in the back there trying to make sure that it says.
I kind of did too, because like when I did a very quick thing at it, I didn't see the Black Panther right like on the top there.
Yeah.
The logo. I thought it was like Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask. Sorry.
A little more cooler than I actually am, but I appreciate it madly. Those of you who are joining us, this is a new show we're launching here on Fridays on the Outlaw Nation channel, and it's kind of a different type of show. Are we going to talk about films and TV, new releases and trailers? Yes, we are. But we're also going to talk about the latest social media trends, what's gone viral, get our thoughts on that and get your thoughts on that, which is why we're doing it live as well. We're going to jump into what's coming up, the new releases that are coming out this week. And we're going to preview some stuff that's coming out in the next few weeks or next week as well. So we're going to jump into all those things. We're going to have fun conversations back and forth about it all and get into it for your enjoyment. To see what you think and what you like, and then get your responses as well. And of course, like every show here on the Outlaw Nation channel, the Streamlabs and the Super Chats are open. You see the Streamlabs address right above my head and right above Wendy's head over there in the middle. And it's in the chat as well as in the description of this video as well. And I'll be pinning it to the chat momentarily. Don't feel like you have to donate anything. This is just a show. And if you want to see what we can do with this thing, and if you guys like it, and if you want to send in anything, support, want any questions or comments read, we will read them as we go along through this show today for sure. Wendy, how has your week been in the week of geekdom? How are you feeling about the week of geekdom this week? So much going on in the world, so much going on. Things are starting to happen more and more. We're getting those screening invites. We're getting those reviews. Movies are coming out. We're hearing news about movies going straight to theaters now instead of streaming and theaters. What do you think is happening? What's your overall assessment of what's going on in the world right now?
It is definitely exciting as things start to open up, people getting shots in arms. So that definitely is kind of cool to see, to hear, you know, kind of what you just said about getting screening invites. I think I have only one that happened to come through. I think it might take some time for that to happen, or I maybe just need to communicate with publicists and studios a little bit more at this point, because it has been a year. So, you know, that's kind of also on me. It's not just on them. So this is a two-way street. So I have to get on that. But honestly, it's kind of nice to feel, this is, I feel like the most normal it's been in over a year. As far as seeing like, oh, theaters are open. Like I'm thinking about seeing Black Widow in theaters, and what is that going to feel like? You know, like having my first official back in movie theater popcorn. I actually don't know if I'm going to do concession, but I want to.
Oh, what's your hesitation in concession? You think you might get the coronavirus or something like that off a concession?
Yeah, and I don't think I will because I got that. I'm fully vaxxed, and it's not like I'm sitting next to somebody, but I think it's the year long of doing something in a very specific way. And then now to untrain myself to not feel anxious, because I have I'm really tightly wound up and it's like super anxious already as a person prior to this whole thing. And then you add this on top of it, I was kind of like, my mom's a germaphobe, so it doesn't help. Ever since I was little, she's washed her hands. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't rub your eyes. And I'm like, oh my God. And for like all of 2020, it's her voice in the, inside my head.
Yeah.
Going, don't do this. Don't do that. But I'm like, okay, so I don't get sick. So, you know.
Understandable. But
it is exciting. It's a lot of stuff that happened kind of all at once. Dustin's birthday was on Monday the 3rd.
Okay.
So we kind of pseudo celebrated. It was more of an at-home thing than anything else. And then, you know, we had Star Wars Day. So all those fun stuff came out. The Bad Batch is out. I just felt like there was a lot. I was like, wait, stop throwing stuff at me. What are you doing? But no, I'll take it.
Let me breathe. I mean, I want it, but let me breathe, for God's sakes.
One at a time. One at a time.
That's for sure. Well, let's get into our first section of the show here. And we're talking about these new trailers that have dropped for stuff that is coming out very soon. We talk about hitting to the theaters. And Wendy, we just got the new trailer, the final trailer for A Quiet Place Part 2. It is coming out in just a few days. And it's exciting. And we've been having this movie teased for so long, and obviously this was the one of the first casualties, I think, of when the shutdown happened. I remember Mulan being the one that got caught kind of in the middle, and then it was Quiet Place Part 2 that immediately was getting pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, and finally it is going to be coming out. We got one final trailer that teased a little more footage. What did you think of this trailer? Are you excited to see this thing? We got some good reviews within the trailer itself. What was your feeling as you were watching this thing?
I'm so excited for the team that's behind this, you know, cast, crew, everybody, because they all worked so, so hard on a movie of this scale, and then to have it delayed and delayed and delayed. And you have this thought of like, do we just go VOD and streaming because of the pandemic, or do we wait? And if we do wait, how long do we wait? So it's a lot of unknowns. So I'm just first like, I want to congratulate everybody who worked on the movie for it finally being coming out in theaters very, very soon, at the end of this month, I think, which is really exciting. Mm-hmm. And then two, I love this trailer because it let you see slightly a different side of the story, because am I going to spoil anything for anybody in the chat?
I don't know.
Okay. I'll keep it light. Okay. But I'll say, from the initial trailer we got for A Quiet Place 2, and we really saw it from Emily Blunt's character's POV, and this one, we got more from John Krasinski, which I thought was interesting because in the previous trailer, they weren't technically together.
Right.
So you saw some of the things play out before all the things that went down, and then a little bit more, like a little bit more of Cillian Murphy. But what I like is that it's, what's kind of weird, honestly, about this one is there is slight dialogue in this movie.
Yeah.
And there was none in the first one. And by dialogue, I mean they whisper.
Yeah.
So I love it so much. I can't wait. I feel like these monsters somehow have like leveled up.
Yeah.
It looked like. So what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I love this as a final trailer. We get very clear that we're going to get Krasinski, we're going to get the doll, we're going to get a prequel part of this trailer before everything happened. You know, he walks, what we see from the opening trailers, he's walking in with a bag of, you know, he's buying some bag of fruit, walks over and he sees what's happening on the TV. They have the normal conversation, like, what's going on? What's this all about? And then, boom, you find out what it is all about. So we'll get a little more of the mystery explained to us for sure, which is exciting for me on so many levels. And then, of course, we're going to have, you know, the post, what happened after the first movie, which is, you know, she's pregnant, Emily Blunt, and she's got to take care of the family now onto the next phase of life. And you've got Cillian Murphy, as you mentioned, Jamin Hansu on this thing. We've got, you know, they're hiding under an egg, a little Harry Potter vibes, hiding under the stair attic. But we get that last kind of final monster sequence coming through the water there, seeing that monster up close near her, or alien, whatever you want to say. So clearly, the first one was more of a Jaws alien horror film. And this one feels like we're going into that sequel territory of of aliens, where it's multiple aliens. I think we're still going to keep that vibe of tension and, you know, fear and high wire tension and all of that. But I think it's also going to have some great monster moments, some great battles, some fun back and forth, and also some probably pretty brutal deaths of characters we're going to grow to care about in the movie, I imagine. And of course, in the first movie, we already saw a couple of brutal deaths that happened to characters we were enjoying. So this is a really cool thing, and this could be yet another push forward for John Krasinski as a director here. Wendy, we saw Ben Affleck kind of turn his career around as a director.
Yes.
John Krasinski certainly not needing to turn his career around, but certainly could be another arrow in his quiver.
I feel like he enjoys it too. Feel like he has, because I think he wrote it as well.
Absolutely.
And I think that's really, really fantastic for him to be able to explore this side of it. You know, he had been in front of the camera so often, and for him to kind of get to working behind camera. And I think it's always really interesting when somebody in the entertainment industry, you know, they may start out as an actor or a director or a cinematographer, and then they go a completely different way. We saw that with Walking Dead with Carol. She was technically casting director, and you know, she just like filled this. I think what happened is like she filled the role. It was supposed to be like a one episode, couple episode character, and she just was loved by fans. And they're like, "Well, you got to stay now." So you know, and so I think with Krasinski's track record, I hope to see many, many more things from him. And he doesn't necessarily have to, you know, be these like big tentpole movies either. He can also like produce smaller projects, direct smaller whatever he wants. Like, I think he's really brilliant. And I also think it's, for me, seeing him work with his wife is really interesting, because I feel like there's a certain way, like you as an actor and then you as a person, right? Because you're working. So I wonder what their dynamic is like. They seem to love working together and being married. So I feel like it's just, they're just perfect. They are just perfect.
Just being
themselves. you make them Sue Storm and Reed Richards.
Absolutely. If that happens, we'll see what happens. You know, it's been a bit. I wonder if they're going to go through with that. I've been feeling lately, and I may be wrong, but I feel lately that they're going to go with the younger actor and a younger actress for Reed Richards and Sue Storm. Not that, of course, Krasinski or Emily Blunt are old by any stretch of the of the imagination, but you know how Hollywood loves to grab them in their 20s, sign them up to 3 contracts. That way they've got them squared away for the next few years. We're seeing, you know, as MK Songbird is pointing out, there's some negotiations going on with Paramount about box office / back end for A Quiet Place Part 2. Oh. So maybe Marvel or Disney is seeing that, going, you know what, maybe we'll go on. Younger actors tend not to be wanting to negotiate all these little particulars because they're not quite as knowledgeable yet. And maybe that's the route they're going to take. That being said, quite happy if they announce this, Krasinski and Emily Blunt for it. So thanks to everyone. Absolutely. Love to see it. Thanks to everybody who's joining us right now. We've got about 43 of you all joining us. I know it's a new show, so it's got to catch on, got to get people's eyes, but we appreciate you all taking a chance to hang out with us. Another thing that dropped, Wendy, is another trailer that, and we'll see, Quiet Place Part 2 comes out on May 28th. So, you know, go and get your tickets soon. Go and get them and get in that theater and have a little fun. Because a couple of people that we know, Eric Davis over there at Fandango and Sean O'Connell at Cinema Blend, are both quoted in this trailer. And
And Heather Wixon from the Hollywood Critics Association.
Yes, Heather Wixon from AHGA also talking about how much they enjoyed the movie. So that makes me all the more excited when, you know, it's difficult to do a sequel to a horror film and make it as good as the first one. And it sounds like from these reviews that it just might be. Another skit. What's that?
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Here's another possibility of fear or spookiness. Halloween night. This trailer dropped earlier today, about 1:05 trailer from The Muppets and Disney Plus. This was so funny. The Muppets revealing that their first ever Halloween special, Muppets Haunted Mansion, will be debuting on Halloween night. It'll feature the Muppets cast, celebrity cameos, new music, and some spooky amusement as well. And this is so interesting because the Muppets have not usually crossed over with Haunted Mansion. I remember that movie from 2003. not that good of a movie, but certainly Haunted Mansion is a ride. Listen, Wendy, I defer to you on this. Wendy, you know the theme parks. You're very well versed in the theme parks. You love the Haunted Mansion ride. Do you like this combination of the Muppets and Haunted Mansion? Did you like the trailer?
I thought the trailer was really cute, and I like that they didn't go too big. They kind of gave us a typical, Muppet funny sort of a, how come I get the lining, or how come he gets the lining and I don't when I say the words Haunted Mansion, and it doesn't work. It's really appropriate. So it's a very much of a tease. And I think this is a nice way of blending the properties people know and love.
Yeah.
And kind of use it as a way to market the parks, because the parks are, you know, almost all of them globally have reopened. I think the only one that's still closed is Disneyland Paris. So this is just really exciting because, you know, last year we skipped all of this. There was no like Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. There's no Halloween this, whatever that. And finally now with Disneyland reopening, I think, and I don't know how long it, you know, if they had this planned already, like, okay, pandemic or not, we'll do it. Mm-hmm. Or is they were kind of saying, okay, we think, you know, it'll be a bit more under control and we can do this and as a way to advertise people coming back to the park. But I wonder what kind of shenanigans they're going to get into and how well they're going to blend the characters with the characters we know inside the Haunted Mansion. Right. Specifically, I would say like, I'm forgetting her name right now. Madame, she's in the Globe. She's the fortune teller.
Okay.
Inside the Globe. I want to say the Wax Museum name, but I know that's not it. And somehow that is in my head. Oh, Madame Leota. So I would love to see some sort of interaction with her. Maybe Kermit getting a reading from her.
Yeah.
You know, as they go into the ballroom. Because you have you gone on the Haunted Mansion ride before?
Yes. Years ago. Stood in line forever. Went to like what they have at Universal Studios. Both of us experienced that. They have those Halloween Horror Nights. They have them for Disneyland as well. And I remember going down one time with some friends and did that. And the line was so long. But in the end, it was absolutely worth it to experience the Haunted Mansion for the first time in many, many years on a Halloween night.
Yeah, this is going to be really interesting to see how they blend what we know inside the ride. Some of these characters that, you know, it's just as you ride, you're like, okay. So you have like the ghost host, the stretching portraits and this and that. And they could probably do like a stretching portrait of the Muppets. So instead of the ballerina girl on the tightrope, it'll be Miss Piggy.
Right.
And something like that. I think they're going to have a lot of fun with it. I can see the merchandising already. I can see it.
Are you liking this merger of the Muppets with Disney? You know, we see Andrew Valdez saying, I worry that with Disney, the big thing I liked about the Muppets is its weirdness that Jim Henson brought to it won't be there. But, you know, what do you think about that? Do you think that's something to be concerned about?
Yeah, I think you always have to, and that may be concerned, but I understand as, you know, a lover of these kind of franchises and these characters, you want them to be true to how we know them, and you don't want them to be so, like, squeaky clean. Not squeaky clean, that's probably a bad terminology to use. but you know, not to embrace the weirdness that it is, that the wackiness that it is. But I think the good thing about it is that it's going on Disney Plus. So I think Disney Plus really likes to mix things up and they like to play around. They like to experiment, and Muppets are already on Disney Plus, which is why this makes perfect sense for it to come out for the fall. Cause like we're about to approach the summer and what's next is the fall. And they want probably do a big push getting ready for, you know, a sort of a limited capacity event for Halloween at the parks. Like this is all just a part of, and I'm not saying it's a straight up marketing ploy. There is certainly a bit of marketing to it. Like, hey, we know you missed the park. We're here for you. But look at what the Muppets are doing inside Haunted Mansion. I just think it's a perfect blend. I think there's kind of been like a resurgence of just puppetry in general. Like we saw it with Dark Crystal. Mm-hmm. We were seeing it with the Muppets. And I think that the more we embrace it, the more we can see not just Jim Henson originals, but like some of the new stuff too.
Yeah.
I want them to keep exploring because I don't like it when people, and I get it, it's not the same, but people are like, oh, I can't watch it because it's Muppets. I can't watch it because it's a cartoon or it's claymation, stop motion. I'm like, but the art, it's so cool. Like, can I just get you to sit down to just try it for 10 minutes? And if you really hate it, then we'll turn it off. Oh. You know, so that's what I'm hoping with this. Maybe they'll capture some audiences that wasn't into the Muppets before.
Yeah, I think that would be fantastic. I totally agree with you. And I'm looking forward to it. Look, I love the Muppets. I love having fun with the Muppets. That ABC series, I think, kind of was three quarters of the way there. Didn't quite get all the way there. I enjoyed the Jason Segel, Amy Adams Muppets movie for sure. Am I a Muppet or a Man? Great song. So you want to see the Muppets in the best way possible. Look, I grew up watching the Muppets as a kid on the variety shows with like John Denver and Prince, I think, was on the Muppet Show once. So just it's great stuff to see them highlight all that talent. So there's fun. Yeah, there's weirdness, but there's fun. I think Disney understands the weirdness aspect of the Muppets and that it's very important to keep that element. It doesn't have to be out there like the original Muppets. If you go and see the old SNL shows, that's a little too raunchy. You don't want that, but certainly you can create a Muppets that's a little more inclusive to everybody. So I'm looking forward to it. And I had a great time with watching this trailer. So fun. Pepe the Prom.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's so funny. I love it.
Love it. All right, we got a super chat that came in from Fredtastic 314. He says, "Hey, John and Wendy, greatest Muppet movie is Muppets from Space. In my opinion, the comedy was goofy and the music was great. So happy I caught this new show." Thank you, Fred. Appreciate it. Yeah, well, do you think that's the greatest one for you, Muppets from Space? Muppets into Space? Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
I don't feel like I remember that one.
Okay.
I don't know if I watched it or I can't remember it, but my favorite was the one, and I confuse it with Christmas Carol. It's not Christmas Carol, and I feel like
our the Muppet Christmas Carol?
Yeah, but it's not that one. Right. It is the one, it's similar, where Kermit has the theater, but he couldn't pay, so he had to, and then he had a nightmare where the tax people or the bank took it back, and they turned it into a nightclub, and they had, like, Sam, like, as a cage dancer with, like, glow sticks.
Whoa, that sounds like a more recent one.
That's a Muppet, but that's like the weirdness we're talking about with the Muppets.
You're right.
It's not a recent one because I was
freshman
in college.
Wow. Is that Muppets
senior
in New York?
Senior year of
maybe?
High school?
Muppets in New York?
Maybe.
Yeah? The dancing maybe. And all of that? Oh, maybe.
It's possible.
I think for me, it's always the first movie. It'll always be the first movie. I just have a special place in my heart for that one. Moving right along, Orson Welles is in that one. And you get like their interaction with Fozzie and Kermit, just really great stuff. And the jokes, plus you get like all the great, talented people. I think Mel Brooks is even in that one, as either hotel concierge or a waiter. John Denver's in it, Dom DeLuise. So many great artists from back then are in it. So that'll always have a special place in my heart for sure. But thanks, Fred. Appreciate you hanging out with us on the new show. And then we have one stream lab that came through here from BK Finest. It says, "Congrats on the new show. Do you think WB can pull off a black Superman with a great story that isn't just swapping skin tones? I hope they reach out to Regina King. This has the potential to be epic. Thoughts?" Well, Wendy, we had it later on in our rundown, but we might as well address it now off of Streamlab in this conversation. What are your feelings about this news that came out from the Hollywood Reporter a couple of days ago about how WB is pursuing a black Superman, and Ta-Nehisi Coates will be writing the script for this? It's due in December in terms of the script. A lot of people talked about Michael B. Jordan. What is your feeling about WB and DC doing this?
I don't have a problem with the black Superman at all. Mm-hmm. I do wonder if there was another opportunity where they could have focused on another, I'm trying to remember the comics there, but there's, I think, there was a couple of other characters. So instead of just like recasting Kal-El, right? Because the whole point is I would love for people to learn that there are other superheroes, you know, on Krypton, other like in that whole story, in that whole universe, other than just Kal-El. But I also like love who is involved in it as far as the writer goes. So I would love to see it. I mean, if you guys want to put Michael B. Jordan in a Superman suit, yes, please. If you want to put what is his name, Jonathan Majors, in a Superman suit, yes, please. Can't you see it?
Shit, I can kind of see that.
Make them both do it. Okay, wait, hold on. Who are the two characters I'm thinking of? I gotta look it up.
Calvin Ellis and Val Zod is who you're thinking of.
Yes, make them both superheroes, and we can have both. Wouldn't that be great? You don't have to choose.
Two black Supermen is what you're saying. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Why not? That's a great idea.
You, one movie here, next movie here, third movie, both of them together. Fourth movie, put Henry Cavill in it.
Wow.
Make it a box set.
I think you just blew our producer's mind. I think you just blew Sean Barreto's mind. Two black Superman. Try having one. She's doubling down. Two of them. Why and not? Then coming together.
Yeah.
I kind of like that idea. It's crazy. It's out of the box. Certainly pushes the expectations of the fans. It tests whether they'd be willing and open to it. And if you pull it off, because really all you ever need to do is make a good movie. You can come up with any kind of concept you want. If you make a good movie behind the concept, that's all that matters. People can laugh at the concept, think it's crazy, think it's no good. But if you make a good movie, they got to shut their mouths. And so to me, that's really the number one thing. So if they went with Wendy's suggestion, I'd be all about that madness.
I'll wait for your call, Hollywood.
Yeah, that's right. Get Wendy on board. See, you got Anthony Wilkerson going crazy for it. He loves it. Fire and yes. Yes, Queen. Absolutely. So that would be fantastic. I'd be all about it for sure. Yeah, there's even a Chinese Superman in the DC comics as well. So that could work on someone else. So certainly, if Von just saying he wants 18 Supermen, sure, why not? I'm all down with together. That as well. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And BK Finest. So my overall thoughts on this is real quick is I love the idea. I think you got the right person here, Ta-Nehisi Coates, to write the script. I think they're going to explore what to do with the mythology really well. I like Man of Steel because to me, that's an immigrant story masquerading as the Superman story. So that's why I gravitate to it as the son of immigrants. It really connects to me. So how incredible would it be? As much as people, certainly the black community loved Black Panther, really the pride they felt with Black Panther. Imagine what you could do with Superman, a black man being raised in Kansas. Is he going to be raised by white parents or black parents? What would that entail? And what will his experience be as a black man in the Midwest, in this country, growing up and then getting coming into his own with the superpowers? There's so much to explore here. You know, if he starts to have a relationship with Lana Lang, who's white, is there an interracial thing we're exploring here? So there's so much that we can play with the Superman mythology that still would seem authentic and connected to the overall Superman mythology if you went with a black man as Superman. So I'm down with it 1,000% for sure. Absolutely. All right, Wendy, what are we off to next?
So, you know, it wouldn't be a John and Wendy show if Wendy didn't talk about K-pop just a little bit. But this is really interesting. I actually wasn't until you mentioned it that I was like, wait, this is a thing. So MGM television team is teaming up with one of Korea's biggest entertainment companies, SM Entertainment, for a U.S. K-pop competition show. So I know right now you're thinking in your head like, okay, The Voice, American Idol, something like that. But a K-pop competition show is nothing new if you've been like into K-pop. They've been doing this for years. There's ones that are called Produce 101. There's one that's happening right now. I think it's in China. And they have mentors from various either producers, singers, K-pop group members. And the current one is called Youth Be With You. So there's been many, many, many versions of this. And it's really interesting to see. I'm interested to see how they're going to kind of put the spin, if they're going to be any sort of spin on it, or if they're just going to take, you know, the versions that they created before and just make it for the American audience. Similar to like, I want to use Masked Singer as a concept, as like an example, but I want to say the Masked Singer had debuted in like Indonesia and not Korea, but I'm not 100% sure. Either way, it was it was a foreign show before it was brought here to the States. And then they make it, it's quite different. It's very extravagant here, in the US. Like if you watch it in like the Korean version of it, it's a little bit more, it's still fun, but it's a lot more like toned down. There's no extravagant, crazy masks and all this stuff. So basically what this show is going to do, this competition, they're looking for a new boy group, but they're doing it under it's going to be a subunit group for an existing group, stay with me here, called NCT. So NCT is one of, it's got like 20 plus members in it. It's all boys, I think. And they have a couple of subgroups. So with this show, they are going to be creating a subgroup under the banner of NCT called NCT Hollywood. And so I'm guessing that they are going to, like for this group specifically, it's going to be mixed race, you know, and stuff like that. Because typically when they have things like this, it's K-pop. So they sing in Korean. They are trained in Korea. It's under a Korean entertainment company. So while this is still under a Korean entertainment company, I wonder, that's what I'm most curious about, is are all the members, they're all going to have to learn to sing and speak in Korean.
Yeah.
As well as, like, it's going to be a very international group, which I think is really cool. So I'm curious to see how this is going to go. And the search has probably started. And usually the trainees, they'll like pick people from anywhere as young as 13 to as old as 25.
Wow. Well, I'm still new. How can I say this? I'm very limited in my K-pop knowledge. But when you talk about this, and I do like my boy and girl groups. I'm not going to deny that I'm a big Spice Girls fan. I'll fight for Backstreet Boys over NSYNC any day. I get the allure of this. I'm even a Sugar Jones fan from Canada from way back when, in the early 2000s. So I like the idea of groups coming together. And most of the time, it kind of works off these reality shows more often than not. So will they be American? When they say American, do they mean American, but they're Korean as well? Because that wasn't mentioned in the article. They just said American. So could we see different ethnicities be a part of a K-pop group? Is the only qualification that you have to sing in Korean? Is that the qualification?
Yeah, the article was so vague that I couldn't find it either. But I would assume that if it's an American show, that they're going to be, regardless of who they pick at the end, I feel like some of the competitors that are going to enter are going to be of all, obviously all age ranges within their age bracket,
right,
but all races and all different backgrounds. And one of the caveats is that one of the challenges, if they're already not Korean or know how to speak Korean, they're going to have to learn. So that's an added thing, an added stress, and maybe a little drama to the show. Because if you watch like the Produce 101 stuff, it's not like I think they're being sent to Korea and they're going to train at the SM entertainment facility. And it's not just like, okay, we pick a song. From what I've seen from documentaries and stuff, it's not just like pick a song and let's see how you can sing and dance to it. You have to know you're judged on your singing, your rapping, your dancing, and they train you. They're so specific to like, you have to play with your voice this way. You may have to write your own rap. You may have to make your own dance, make your formation. And then there's a spot, like if you watch enough shows, those Korean competition shows, there's a place where, parts of the choreography, because the formation changes all the time. So whoever's in the middle changes all the time.
Right.
So the
right.
position's called the center. But are you good enough to be put in the center? Because all the eyes are on you. And, they want everything to look super in sync and stuff like that. So it's really, really stressful. Like I've watched it and I was like, I could never do this. I love K-pop so much. And like, would I love to be like the fifth member of Blackpink? Absolutely. Could I do what they did? No, it's really hard. So I'm very interested to see exactly how they're going to play with it. I hope it's not too super produced. Like they're focusing more on the drama rather than the talent. Cause I want to see just the hard work and the training and the talent and the payoff at the end.
Well, look, I mean, K-pop is massive, obviously. Massive. I mean, it's what, 20 billion downloads a year for this. So it's insane to think about how massive K-pop is and how much it's affecting the world. And you see people from all age ranges, all ethnicities are into K-pop. So this is a smart move. Mark Burnett behind the American arm of this. No surprise. Mark Burnett has always been one of the pioneers of reality television during its explosion. I did a reality show with him once upon a time. The man's one of the most incredibly intelligent people you're ever going to meet, understands trends, gets a step ahead, knows how to, a trend that's already going, he knows how to take advantage of it and put a new spin on it. So I'm curious to see how this works out, and maybe it'll expose even more people to K-pop and give it a whole new appreciation with a whole new audience. That's possible as well. Yeah.
For you, Roka, a little homework for until next Friday. We don't have to talk about this on the show next week, but
I'm
just want you to watch
right now. What is this?
And I know everybody if you ask any like the general audience or the general like population, like what do you know about K-pop? They're probably going to tell you BTS because they're kind of dominating the world.
Right.
Right. I want you, and I'll text this to you. Look up the song. Just because I think the video is sick and I think you might just enjoy it for the cinematography and the effects for it. The group is called Stray Kids and the song is called God's Menu.
God's Menu.
God's okay. Menu. It is it. Fantastic. It's like one of my favorite Korean group music videos.
Done and done. I'm putting it on the list. I might even watch it after we're done with the show.
Amongst many things that I have recommendations for.
Okay. Christian Rommel says, Rain.
Rain, OG.
There you go. All right, let's move on to our next thing. And please remember, the Streamlabs and Super Chats are open. We're not asking to send. We're just saying those are open. If you want to send some support, want to ask a question through Streamlabs and Super Chat that we answer here on the show, feel free to do so. Streamlabs is right there above Wendy and I's heads. It's also in the description of the chat. Oh, sorry, in the description of the video. I should put it in the chat. My bad. So, Wendy, what do we do that while Wendy? I'll do that while Wendy tells us what is next that we're talking about.
So, you guys know how John and I, at the beginning of the show, were saying that it's been a very busy week. Things are opening up. We're getting trailer for this, trailer for that, this and that. So we also have, and definitely didn't see this coming, a new teaser for Stranger Things season 4. And it's so early because I believe they only started production, September?
Yeah.
Or something like that. So they may have wrapped, but it's everything. It's got to be still like very, very early as far as editing and production, post-production goes. But this teaser is all kinds of eerie. We're going back to like the early days of 11, which I really didn't think that we would really get to see. And that's where the setting is for this new trailer. John, did this new teaser not give you the creeps?
Oh, I loved it. Oh, my. What a great start to get us back into the mindset of Stranger Things. I immediately retweeted it. and asked some of my fans what their thoughts were on it, and seemed to be overwhelmingly the response was, oh, this is a possible spinoff. We're showing the other 10 kids, because remember, she's 11. We might be showing the other 10 kids, and maybe some of those kids will spin off into a separate story, because it seems like everybody involved with Stranger Things now, who is there from the beginning, is branching off and becoming big outside of the realm of the TV show. So they want to keep this brand going, clearly. So the best way to do that is to introduce new characters, bring back Matthew Modine, and then see where we go with these new characters and what it's teasing. But certainly the way it ends on 11 and the thing opening up and her eyes opening up, it lets you know like something big is coming for sure here from this. So I love the vibe, love the terror behind it, and I'm looking forward to see what it actually will lead to down the road for the Stranger Things universe. What about you?
One of the things I really didn't realize I missed was Stranger Things. It feels like it's been forever ago. It was forever ago since we got season 3, but the second I clicked on the trailer, it kind of snapped me right back to all the reasons why I love the show and how far the characters and the stories have gone. And I kind of love that we're going to potentially go back and explore, you know, Eleven's earlier life, because I feel like we got some, but now as she's more grown up and she, you know, is making choices and getting more powerful and getting more in tune with her powers, I'm curious to see what would happen if she did meet up with those people in her life that, you know, like whether it was the first 10 kids or what she calls them, Pop-Pop, right?
Yeah, Pop-Pop,
So it's very curious, because it was like extra creepy, the creepy that I didn't think that we would get for a first teaser. And it kind of, when I was watching it, the way where they're playing with sounds and everything, I was like, ooh, I don't like this, like the empty kind of school classroom setting with all this. I don't like it, but I watched it anyway. I watched it like this. I was like, oh God, what's going to happen? Demogorgon's going to pop out at us, or what?
it looks it's like we're going back to the Hawkins National Laboratory, and of course Matthew Modine's character that. Dr. Martin Brenner. I know, we ever said, but we remember way back when, because look, I couldn't believe this, it's been 15 months since the last season of Stranger Things. So remember when we had that little bit of a teaser, and there is David Harbour looking like he's working in this like snowy Russian place, maybe a gulag or whatever. So remember, we saw that. So clearly that's going to connect into this situation somehow for sure. And, you know, we see Matthew Modine walking in and say, how are we doing, children? Fine, Papa. So clearly that may be something maybe Harbor stumbles onto discovering this whole thing that's happening here, and what's his role going to be in all of this. So maybe we think it's a prequel, but maybe it isn't a prequel. Maybe it's a current one showing us where the other 10 of these kids are and what these 10 kids might be sent out to do to go toe-to-toe with 11. So that could be something as well in the end. So yeah, and we hear Dr. Brenner saying, "Are you listening, 11?" So what does that mean? You know, so pretty cool.
That's interesting. It's interesting to think about too, because when he walked in and then they zoomed out and then they went to 11's room, it looked like, it made it look like that 11 was maybe like shut in her cell, you know, and she was kind of like secluded from the rest of the children. And then Andrew Valdez in the comments here, hitting it on the nose, he says, "Reminds me of that season 2 episode that everyone hated, though, where she was hanging out with that gang." And it absolutely, I thought of that too, where I was like, oh, all those powerful people. But I think this is going to be a little bit different because they have all similar upbringing. And who knows if, like, which ones are conditioned to think this way or that way, or if they're rebellious, or if they're stuck and she needs to rescue them. Or I think the doc is going to probably use the rest of the kids to leverage something against her.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Great point. The Duffer Brothers said this about the new season in February of 2020. "Although it's not all good news for our American," that means Sheriff Hopper, "he is imprisoned far from home in the snowy wasteland of Kamchatka." I think I bought that at Trader Joe's once. "Where he will face dangers, both human and other." Meanwhile, back in the States, a new horror is beginning to surface, something long buried, something that connects everything. Season 4 is shaping up to be the biggest and most frightening season yet, and we cannot wait for everyone to see more. In the meantime, pray for the American. So there you go.
Oh, God. Sure. Okay, it's so serious. You know what's going to be wild is when we turn this on and we see all the kids, they're going to be so big. They're going to be all so big and grown.
They're going to be massive. You're right.
Yeah. Like, I remember seeing, like, Millie Bobby Brown in Godzilla vs. Kong. I was like, oh, she's so grown. Mm-hmm. Look at her. It's going to be crazy. They're all going to, like, look very mature.
Yes, Ramos. I know it's kombucha. It was a joke.
Kombucha. Love kombucha. Haven't had one in a long time.
Christine sent us a stream live. Thank you, Christine. She says, "John, I love K-pop as much as I love wrestling." Whoa. "The system is similar to the WWE and the NXT system. There are trainees working for years, some as young as 13, and are lucky to even debut in a group. I love this show already. And Wendy, please, more K-pop talk."
Well, I promise you, I will give you one K-pop thing a week. I think I can. But I worry that it's going to be like Blackpink focused, because I'm a Blink and I'm like too obsessed with them. So maybe like once a month. Maybe once a month, so I can spread out the love amongst all the other groups too.
I like it. All right, Wendy, I think that's it for our first section of the show today. Let's jump into what is trending. Please lead us into that. We're going to jump into what's trending in social media and what's been kind of burning up the social media sphere, both on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. This will be a weekly segment of our show. Where shall we start?
I think we should start with the May the 4th stuff. Obviously, you guys know May the 4th, not just celebrating our love for Star Wars, but it's like bye, 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 everything Star Wars. And luckily, you know, now with both Disney World and Disneyland and Downtown Disney all open, fans can, you're not just stuck fighting those bots online trying to get the things that you want. I honestly didn't try this year. I didn't even try because over the pandemic, I've had so many like, I'm going to try for this, I'm going to try for that. Sold out in 2 minutes. I'm like, great, cool. That's what happened with my Ahsoka Tano years. I wanted to get them. I would like locked on, you know, 10, 15 minutes prior, and it was sold out like 7 minutes. And I was like, well, poo-poo. Turned off my computer and I was like, you know what? I'll make my own. I haven't made them.
Oh, you haven't? Oh, okay.
No, I'm hoping for a restock and I'll just get the second round or whatever. I don't know. We'll see. Please make more. But for May the 4th, they released this really, really cool thing. People were lining up for, you have to get a reservation to shop in person or online, because this item is so exclusive, limited edition of 300, which means 1,000 was available at Walt Disney World, yeah. 1,000 in parks here, Disneyland, and 1,000 online. I believe the online ones went the quickest because bots and yeah. the resellers are now selling them on eBay for probably like 500 times the price. So these are the Luke and Leia Legacy Lightsabers, I think is what they're called. And Woo! They are absolutely gorgeous. They're super exclusive. They're all numbered, like whatever out of 3,000 inside it. When you open the box, first of all, there's like uh-huh. quotations. It's obviously the front of the box. It's marked with Erebesh. It kind of looks similar to, you know how Rey in, was it Force Awakens? Mm-hmm. She found this box at Maz Kanata's.
Right. Maz Kanata.
It makes it's such a tongue twister for me. and she opened it. The box slightly reminds me of that where she pulled Anakin's lightsaber out of. Mm-hmm. Or actually, it's Luke's. Did she pick up Luke's?
Yeah, it was Luke's, yes.
And so what this one is Luke and Leia's Legacy lightsabers, and it's even wrapped in this like burnt orange leather material wow. to wear at the end of the film in Rise of Skywalker, where Rey had like lowered it, she put it, you know, bound it up, and then she buried it in the ground. It's yeah. like that. But you open the box, John, and the theme, it's okay. Leia's theme, starts playing.
Wow.
So it's worth the money to get this. And all I was seeing on Twitter on May the 4th was people shopping, and that was like the one photo I kept on seeing people posting, their unboxing reactions, them crying because they hear the song. I didn't know there was going to be a song like playing right. when you open the box. What the heck? It's amazing.
Yeah, I'm looking for the box right now. Hopefully I can put it up here if I can get it. I think I
put a link in our show notes.
You
there.
Did? Okay. Yeah. Let's take a look here. Because I want to make sure I bring it up, but I don't want to bring it up in a way that's going to be messy. But, you know, right now it looks like things are a little slow on my end internet-wise, so I will have to just bring them up all like good. This. So you'll excuse me if we don't have a perfect cover, but that's what the box looks like right there. It my word. Music. Look at that. And look at the writing as Wendy spoke about there. And, of course, the burnt orange leathers you were talking about. Wendy, that looks extraordinary. These are what you find inside of here. Wow. I don't care how much it costs. I think that's the one thing I would absolutely buy so I could display it properly behind me. That's for damn sure.
I don't think it was that much. It was available for $375 for two lightsaber hilts. And okay. the box that plays music. That's actually not bad.
I have to start a Kickstarter for that, Sean. Get it. Sean, I think you can get it. Sean, my birthday is coming up in a few months.
We know we have to get Sean a lightsaber yeah. by the end of the year. We need
come on
lightsaber in hand for come Sean on, Sean. Here.
Get me so a lightsaber.
This was one Sean. Of the things that was trending, and it was just fun to see people's reaction.
Absolutely, people love that Star Wars stuff. People love lightsabers. If you can come close to lightsabers or anything simulating an actual lightsaber, people go gaga for sure.
Yeah,
what else was trending here?
All right, I found this because I just thought it was so funny. this is and I happened. I don't even know how I happened across it. I think it may have been on the What's Trending page, the trending page mm-hmm. on Twitter, but it was like in a whole thread of reasons why I want to quit my job. And it was posted by a barista working at a Starbucks. And I kid you not, if I saw this order come in on a mobile order and I was a barista at Starbucks, I'd be like, you know what? Honestly, and I know I get it. Look, it's your job. It's your job to, you know, make the drinks. Like, that's a part of it. You understand right. that. You get it. That is like what you have to do. But this is ridiculous. And imagine getting this more and more and more, because people on TikTok, there's like a whole coffee TikTok where people are like, go to Starbucks, get drinks like this with this modification, and it tastes like this. And of course, you know, especially during the pandemic, people are going to try it because it's safe to go through a drive-through and,
oh, sure.
and this and that. These orders, you guys, they don't look like your typical Americano, hold the water or whatever. I don't know. I just order coffee off the wall. Yeah. Like, I want that. And the most thing I'll do is sub almond milk or sub oat milk. That right. is the most bougie I'll go.
That's because you're respectful of these baristas and their time. You know, well, there's a line.
I just don't need all everyone's that busy. Other stuff.
Yeah, that too. That's true.
But let me tell you guys, when I say these tickets for one order, they look like a CVS receipt.
Let's take a look at one of
these. Okay, so I'm going to read you Edward's order, okay? It's a Frappuccino. It's a venti caramel crunch Frappuccino blended with five bananas, extra caramel drizzle, extra whip, extra ice, extra cinnamon dolce topping, seven pumps of additional dark caramel sauce. I think that's what it means. Extra caramel crunch, one pump honey blend, five, I don't know what that means, brown butter, something, five pumps of Frappuccino roast coffee, seven add Frappuccino chips, heavy cream, double blended. Wow. What? Wow. Why? Why do you need all this in a drink, though? Mm-hmm. Like, why do you need five bananas in a smoothie? I put one banana in my smoothie, John.
Yeah. Yeah. And I bet they throw away half of it. I bet, Wendy, they don't even finish it all. I bet they throw away half of it. And it's a way of like feeling important. Let me do the 27 things inside of this drink so I can feel important at the Starbucks before I head on off to my job. I don't know how torturing these baristas in any way, shape, or form makes you feel good about yourself, but some people do it. It drives me insane. And the person who posted this, Josie, put it on Twitter, and it became viral, and a number of people came back as well with some more orders that they had received during their time. And apparently Starbucks has a secret menu, and it's this new TikTok trend, which encourages coffee lovers to get outlandishly creative with their orders. And what was the, so it was, yeah, someone had a green tea Frappuccino with 29 supplementary specifications. Someone chimed, another barista chimed back and said, I'll raise you one more with a cafe misto with over 30 additional ingredients. But this person also said, so go ahead. Yeah.
No, it's just CVS receipt, you know?
Yeah, it's like exactly. It's like a CVS receipt. And then one person said, I stood behind a woman who ordered all of this and then said she wanted it heated at 37 degrees Celsius, not 36, not 38. And trust me, I will know. So threatened the barista. So this
is coffee.
Mad. Yeah, it's coffee.
Coffee. Stop. Stop.
Wendy, I would argue. Yeah, I would argue if you need 29 ingredients in your coffee, you're the last person that should be having coffee. You're the last person I want hopped up at my workplace off 29 ingredients in your coffee. No way.
Would you like a side of coffee with your 20 pumps of caramel sauce, extra whip, double blended? Like, what is double blended even? Like, what is that?
Oh, yeah. And they're probably bitching when it takes too long to come out. And I was like, no, you got 29 ingredients, pal. I need some time to make this thing. So sit back and relax for 20 minutes before you get it. Before
you know what, Starbucks, when your drink is ready for you, the barista always calls it out. I feel like they should shamelessly do this and embarrass the person. I would not want to go up and grab that drink. Be like, I have a venti caramel Frappuccino for Vanessa with 20 pumps of like whatever. Just read off the entire thing. You know, the entire coffee shop is going to stop and be like, who's going to grab that drink? I'd be like, that's not mine. I didn't order that. That's why they mobile order it. There should be a... I hope they get upcharged the wazoo for all that BS that they're putting in there.
Yeah. And look, usually I enjoy TikTok, and it's a lot of fun to see the inventiveness of TikTok. You get lost. Wendy and I were talking about this before we started the show. We were kind of pitching segments. We both can get lost on TikTok. Like, this is why I only go on TikTok every once in a while, because I know if I start, I'm going to be lose 2 hours at least, just kind of looking at the inventiveness and creativity of some of the people on TikTok. It's phenomenal. I follow this one girl. I think Katie J. Linz is her name. She's from England. She does these incredible scenes where she does the, essentially, what do they call that? A lip sync. She lip sync scenes from Friends, from Gavin and Stacey, from The Big Bang Theory, and she is brilliant at doing them and has like 500,000 followers, and they are worth a watch. But she puts time in with camera angles. She changes outfits, playing all the different characters in the scene. So the inventiveness of people on TikTok are great. It should not be used to encourage people to put 29, 37 ingredients in the coffee, man.
Yeah, that's like a slight modification is totally fine. If you want extra strawberries in your, you know, strawberry acai drink, go for it. We mean like the 20. There was one receipt that I saw too, like 20 pumps of this, 20 pumps of that. Can you make sure the dairy is non-fat? I'm like, what about all the other stuff that you just put in? No.
I like Fred's point here is really good. He says all this, what is it? Oh, sorry. All the add-on is to mask the taste of coffee. Okay.
Yeah. And then kind of to John's point, you're right. You shouldn't be having coffee then if you need all of this.
That's true. Very, very true. I don't want you hopped up coming to work. Some of the people we work with, Wendy, I don't want them having 29 pumps for the love of God.
Gosh. I don't think anybody in our office would have drank that. Maybe on a dare. Maybe on a dare. Like, I'll give you $10 if you finish this whole thing. Or I'll buy you lunch.
All right. Well, let's move on to our next segment here, Wendy. It is coming soon, where we talk about what is happening or what is coming out here in the world of entertainment. And I'm looking forward to this one. I think you can speak on this a little bit more, but I'll tee you up here. Jupiter's Legacy coming out on Netflix. Comes out today. If some of you have already maybe started watching it and took a break to hang out with us, thank you so much. But it's about the world's first superheroes as they look to their children to continue their work. And this stars Josh Duhamel from Transformers fame. Yeah. And Leslie Bibb, who some of you know in real life is Sam Rockwell's wife, but also was in the Iron Man series as a character in the Iron Man series. So this is very interesting. I get a little Sky High vibe to it, but it feels like this is a little more serious. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us about Jupiter's Legacy, Wendy? Have you had any exposure to it? Have you watched any of it, or at least a trailer of it?
I've watched a trailer of it, and I really am intrigued. And this is kind of coming off my high from Invincible, that these are sort of these other, you know, different types of superhero stories that we're going to get. Mm-hmm. And you kind of hit it on the nose here. This is about the world's first superhero, how they obtained the power, what they've chosen to do about the power, kind of being like looked to as the protector. But now, as they begin to age, now they're looking to their children to kind of continue their work. But no, I think the interesting kind of social experiment aspect of the show, if you will, to kind of see, are all the kids going to be in for it, or they don't want to take on this burden of, they didn't have a choice, right? Like, they were born into with having the superpower. You're now looked at as like, your parents have this power. When they get too old to carry the torch, you're going to pick it up and you're going to continue to protect us, right? Because that's what you do. You're a superhero family. Mm-hmm, how do they deal with that? With that, you know, expectation, with how, what about if they don't want to be held to that responsibility and they just want to be a person, or they have ill intentions? We don't know. And it seems like what's cool is that it's every kid and every family seems to be a little bit different. You know, some live this very like extravagant life, so their attitude may be different from the next one. So I'm curious to see if the show is going to, you know, make the kids team up, or it'll be sort of a, you know, reluctant hero versus people that are ready, the kids who are ready to take on the torch. I'm very, very, very curious about it. And fun fact, the actress who plays the character Chloe Sampson, her name is, I'm going to butcher, I'm so sorry. It's Greek and I don't think I'm going to pronounce it correctly, but Elena Kemporis.
Okay.
She plays Chloe Sampson. I actually met her at the Mulan premiere.
Oh, wow.
And we were standing next to each other because I didn't want to check in my phone. You know how you have to do that before you enter premiere. Once you like put it away, then it's like away in a little baggie forever. And I was like, oh, I don't want to. And then because I wasn't ready to sit down yet, and I wanted to like still talk to people because it was also right before the pandemic and like nobody knew. So I'm kind of glad I took the time to like socialize beforehand. And I was standing next to her and she looked up at me. Never met her before. And obviously didn't know about the Jupiter's Legacy thing at the time. And she spoke to me in fluent Mandarin. Wow. Are you excited about this movie? And we had a whole like 20-minute conversation in Mandarin. And I'm like, what is my life? Who is she? Why is she so cool? Why is she so cool? So I'm very happy for her that she's, you know, involved in the show. I am very intrigued. I'm going to watch it tonight when Dustin gets home. But the trailer hooked me. So I want to see if the show also will.
Yep. And this is from Mark Millar, who, of course, signed that massive multi-million dollar deal with Netflix. He's done the Kick-Ass comics. He did the Kingsman comics. And also artist Frank Quitely did this one as well. It's originally a comic book series from Mark Millar. It focuses on these characters, Utopian, Lady Liberty, Sky Fox, who are essentially Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. Yet again, another version of these characters like we saw in The Watchmen and the original Watchmen from Alan Moore, versions of the Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, what have you. We just got that in the boys version of Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman overall as well here. And, you know, he said, I was aware that I was never going to own Marvel and DC stuff when he was talking about what he wanted to do in creating his own things. He worked on Ultimates and the Civil War comics as well. But he said, after writing some of Marvel's biggest books, I had an audience I could spin off. And this is what motivated him to do Kick-Ass and Kingsman and then also Jupiter's Legacy. And this apparently is going to span from like 1929 to the distant future. There's two different timelines that are apparently going to be plot lines, rather, that are going to be part of the series. The superheroes in the present day and their origin story in 1929 told in flashback. So Wendy, already you feel that vibe of The Watchmen, because Watchmen also jumped back and forth in time, both in the TV series, the movie, and the comic book series. So we saw them going back in time to kind of show you what the process was like. The boys as well, in this last season, jumping back and forth in time to show you how this all came about. So fascinating stuff. Someone said already that they watched the first episode and they weren't 100% sold, but they're going to give it a couple more episodes before they fully jump into it. I think it was... So we'll see. I mean, I'm curious to see. It was MK Somberg. Didn't see the trailer, but watched the first episode of Jupiter's Legacy. Not really sure how I feel about it. We'll give it another couple episodes, but wasn't sold on the first episode. Sometimes you need a little more time. Sometimes with it
takes, yeah. Mm-hmm,
yeah. Mm-hmm, especially exactly. If it's a massive thing. So we shall see. But that is out now on Netflix. And Vanja says, wait, Wendy speaks Mandarin?
There you go. 是的,我会说国语.
There you go. Well said.
Not very well. I don't get enough practice. All my relatives are in Taiwan, so I have to call home to practice.
All right, Wendy, where shall we go next? You got a Castlevania thing to tell us about? Talk.
Yeah, I'm just I don't know much about it. I'm just like really, really excited for Castlevania season 4 because I love, one, the animation style. Two, I feel like they're doing Castlevania right. You know, for everybody who's loved the video games, like Dustin's a huge fan of Castlevania. It's like Symphony of the Night. Mm-hmm. Like love that. So he was actually the reason why I got into it. And I was like, oh, we're gonna watch Castlevania. Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. And if you're okay with graphic violence, like this is such a cool story. It's very in depth. I think it's by. Or Adi Shankar has like something to do. Oh. He produces it or okay. Something like that. But I love the art and I love the story being told. And I like that they just keep getting another season mm-hmm. because if they can just keep giving it to us, you know, I don't know if this may be the final season or not. I'm just so excited to even see that because I had forgotten because also, we get so many things every single day, right? News drops.
Oh my
like,
God.
This is coming. Yeah. This is coming. This is new. This is getting another season. Yeah. This is being canceled. And I'm like, oh, I can't keep it all straight in my right. head. So just to have seen that on the list, I was really, really happy to dive into. Yeah. I might have to watch the final episode of season 3 to kind of jog my memory a little bit on what's right. happened last. But I'm ready.
Yeah. I don't have as much exposure to Castlevania as you do, so I defer to you on all of this. But I know I have a lot of friends who love Castlevania, love diving into it. I had a friend who used to leave it on for her dog, and they would play all day to keep the dog company every day and enjoy it. The dog stayed quiet and watched. So very strange world.
Watching like the Belmont story, like
yeah, enjoying it madly for sure. So is that out now or is that coming soon, the Castlevania season?
I think it's coming soon. Let me just do a quick verification.
Okay.
Season 4 release date. It is expected to release. Oh, updated only 10 hours ago.
Oh, wow.
Okay, let's see. Oh, real soon. Thursday the 13th.
Wow, next week, May 13th.
What the heck?
Incredible. What get the on heck? That.
No. Wow. See, it's too much, man. It's 50 million things on top of all the other stuff that I want to watch and read and do.
Yeah.
Add Castlevania to the list.
Let's do it. The other thing I want to preview for you all, this film is coming out, The Boy from Medellin. It showcases, it's a great documentary, about a 90-minute documentary, showcasing Colombian being this, the country Colombia, Colombian reggaeton singer J Balvin. I know Doreen Adeliano hates reggaeton, but this is a fantastic documentary, and it showcases him preparing for his 2019 homecoming concert while also dealing with this intense political turmoil that is happening in Colombia. It's a pretty fantastic documentary. I got a chance to see it a while ago before dropping it. It's about to come out, or is it out? Yeah, it's out now. The reviews are out there for people to enjoy. So if you haven't watched it, gotta tell you, this is one that you gotta get your hands on and take a look. And it's a quick 90 minutes, and it'll absolutely suck you in. Engrossing stuff. Even if you're not a reggaeton fan, if you just like documentaries or like profiles on people who are successful as artists, as singers, or performers, this is a great documentary. Then you throw in the political turmoil aspect of it also. If you have any interest in that kind of stuff, it certainly crosses over, and it's worth a watch for sure. All right. And then High School Musical? Talk to me about this one. What are we doing here, Wendy?
High School Musical, the series, John. It's on Disney Plus. And for all my fellow Wildcats out there who watched all the High School Musical movies on the Disney Channel, I'm so excited. It is coming back for a season 2. And what I liked about the show, that's very aware of what it's doing. You know, they break the fourth wall, which I think it's so interesting. They know they're, you know, being extra with like the synchronized dance and the costumes or whatever, and they acknowledge that, and we want to watch it because we all love musical theater. I feel like, John, you honestly would love it if you just go in knowing that like it is kids in high school. And the whole thing is that it's not in the world of High School Musical. So Gabrielle, they know that this was a movie, and they go to the high school where High School Musical the movie was filmed.
Wow, really?
That's okay. It's meta.
Okay.
It's super meta, and they have really awesome, talented kids for us. So season 2 coming back after a really good opening night. I think it's like going to be, according to the description online, it's New Year's Eve, and they throw this like fun party. But of course, there's like revelations because the musical theater teacher, her rival, shows up. And who is that? We don't know. And okay. Also, I feel like watching it, every time I watch it, I always wonder, are we going to get a cameo? When is Zac Efron showing up? When is Vanessa Hudgens? You know, they slowly trickle them in. Like there has been like one or two cameos where you're like, oh my gosh. So I can't wait. But the music is excellent. The talent is very raw. Like there's one of the girls who is like, she's had an amazing dance number from season 1. And I was hooked.
Wow.
I was hooked. Like I couldn't wait for the next episode. I was like, wait, that's it? No. I couldn't believe how much I was into it.
I've been reading since the, because this is going to be season 2, is that correct? 201, yeah. Season 2. I've heard great things about season 1. A lot of people were ready to kind of like dismiss this thing, and apparently it got a lot of respect from reviewers and people who watched it and enjoyed it so much, obviously because we're getting a second season of this. And they said the meta stuff really works. And also these kids, the actors they've cast, some have argued that they're even better than the actors they cast with the original movie. So
cast musical theater kids in everything. You're not going to be disappointed.
It's true. They can really perform. That's for damn sure. You can always default to that if nothing else. And I did want to say one last thing. I forgot to mention this. The Boy from Medellin, it is on Amazon Prime. So if you want to watch it, it is on Amazon Prime. And it's from the same director who won the Oscar for his documentary for The Cartel. Cartel Land. So if you've watched that, this is another one in that vein. But yeah, High School Musical, and that's on Netflix. Am I correct on that?
Oh no, Disney Plus.
Oh, Disney Plus. Right on. Disney all right, Plus. Get on it. Get
We're
on it.
All and, in this together.
I think I remember the dance. I was taught the dance once years ago.
Oh my God, put that on your TikTok, John.
No way. I was
do it
100 pounds heavier than I am now.
Do a film a new one for your Patreon members.
Maybe I'll do that. Yeah, maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll do that. Sean's saying no, but Sean always tries to ruin my fun. So it's no surprise. No surprise. All right, let's get into our last section of the show here. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to ask us any questions, any other comments before we go on this first episode, please feel free to send in your Streamlabs and Super Chats now as we run into the last 15 minutes of the show. We got 100 of you watching us live. Thank you so much for taking a chance on our debut episode. It means so much to us. Let us know what you think Give it a like. And if you're watching it later, leave a comment. Let us know what you think. Let us know what subjects you'd want us to talk about. As you can tell, this is not your usual type of show that we have here on the Outlaw Nation channel. So we want to make it even more interactive, more fun, more friendly, more playful, more joyful for sure. So please send in what you'd want us to talk about. And we are going to hit on video games down the road. We're going to hit on so many things. We're going to bring in guests. We're going to talk about that. We're going to bring in reviewers who are going to review the latest films or TV shows to sit down with us for like 10 to 15 minutes. We're going to have interviews with people. I didn't have enough time. I would have edited my interview with Marisol Nichols, who was in Spiral. Did an interview with her yesterday. We talked about for like 5 minutes about, you know, the Jenkin interview for 5 minutes about Spiral. So, but next week, well, I'll put it on next week's show for sure. I'll have it edited and Spiral comes out next week. So it'll coincide with that for sure. So, but yeah, let's jump into this. Wendy, here's our next section. It is what we recommend, kind of sending you all into the weekend with some things to think about, some things to watch. Please, Wendy, what do you got?
We've got, should we start off on the top there? Or should we go with mine?
Let's go with yours. Absolutely.
Okay. First off the list, I think if you guys have been following me on social media, you probably already know I am just a little obsessed with Shadow and Bone. This is, you can catch all 8 episodes right now on Netflix. But it's also a book written by Leigh Bardugo. And it's, what's kind of cool is that I was trying to read the books first and finish, but then the date just kind of like jumped up on me. I was like, oh no. So I was on about like chapter 6 or something like that when I started watching the show. And at that point, I just stopped reading the book to finish off the show. And then now that I've finished the show, I've resumed on my reading of the book. And I will say, I feel like the show did a really, really good job pulling all the important stuff from the book. And something else that you guys might not know is that the show actually has 2 books in it. So it has Shadow and Bone. And it has the Six of Crows duology, the first book, as a part of it. So you see these characters that technically don't really interact in the books itself, in a really interesting way in the show. And I find that very intriguing. I love the cast. Ben Barnes is everything. So that's a highly recommend for both the show and the book. And if you're kind of like, oh, I don't know if I want to invest in, like, you know, there's 3 books plus the duology, that's 5. And then there's more after that. Go with the show. I promise you, after 1 episode, like, you're, especially if you're into like YA stuff and fantasy, you're probably going to be hooked.
Wow. Yeah. I saw the trailer and I was on the fence about it because it came at the same time or a week or two after like the Irregulars and the Nevers and all that. I'm just like, what? There's a lot of fantasy steampunk stuff kind of dragging my attention one way or another, but you're saying it's good series. It's certainly enjoyable and it's got a lot to offer. I love Ben Barnes, obviously out of Daredevil. I'm sorry. Punisher.
Oh, right.
But I'm excited to see him step. Yeah. Good looking dude. Good looking dude.
Really good looking.
so you like this series overall? You enjoyed it? What you've seen so far?
Yeah, I really love it. I know they haven't been greenlit for a season 2. I think if they don't give us a season 2 and a season 3, the fans are going to revolt. The fans are going to be upset. The positive sign that I had, that I knew that the show was probably going to be good, was that Dustin and I did a reaction video on our channel, and then I posed the question to the fans of the book, and I asked them, from, you know, what you love and know about the book and looking at this now being presented visually with actors, costumes, settings, and everything, does it line up with what picture you had in your head when you read the book? And like positive responses, it was almost all positive responses, like yes. And that made me go, okay, because, you know, like, fans of the book, when you read, I don't know if you do it, but if you're reading something like Lord of the Rings, you sometimes, because it's, you can be so descriptive in a book, and Tolkien certainly did that with like all the details, setting the scene for you. So kind of, and you and I, you know, as actors and performers, we tend to want to, you know, set the story for ourselves and put ourselves in that setting. So I would picture certain scenes, and I would have so many moments when I watched Lord of the Rings where I'm going, oh my gosh, this looks almost identical to what I pictured in my head. And that's when you know that the movies did a good job adapting the book. And I would say that's the same for Shadow and Bone.
Wow. Okay. All
pretty
right.
Incredible.
You might have sold me on this one because I liked the trailer, but I was like a little hesitant. If it's and they canceled the Nevers today?
No, they so,
or was it, which one was
the
it?
Irregulars.
The Irregulars. Oh, sorry, the Irregulars.
I don't know about the numbers, but they, I was a little surprised because I think overwhelmingly, like the numbers were positive.
Okay.
The reviews were positive, and the downloads were positive. So I'm kind of surprised, but I will also say, not to dive too much into like a review portion of the show, but for me, I am not incredibly sad that they can't. I'm sad for the cast and the people that worked on it, because now they're out, obviously, a job, and that freaking sucks.
Sure.
But I didn't love, I don't know if you know enough about the Irregulars, but it's a part of the Sherlock Holmes story.
Yes, I do.
So I'm a
Sherlock
Holmes
person, so yeah.
So the way they portrayed Sherlock and John is quite different from what we've seen of him and what my, like, understanding and vision of him. And for me, and this is very much like a me problem, this is not a show problem, I don't think, couldn't get over that. There were things that existed in this version with Sherlock, and with Sherlock specifically, that I was like, I don't think that ever happened to him in his past life prior to certain other people coming into his life. So I just myself couldn't get over that, and I think it hurt me in watching the show. But I enjoyed the regular core cast, like the kids. I really enjoyed them. I thought they were phenomenal to watch, and they had an interesting story. And had they told this irregular story but not put them inside the Sherlock universe, just rename it to something else original, I think it worked better. But that's just my opinion.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, I hesitated on that one because, you know, it seemed like they were messing with the mythology of Holmes and Watson and trying to talk about these characters that actually do exist in the Holmes and Watson mythology. So I hesitated. Well, I don't have to watch it now because they canceled it. But the Nevers, I think I'm going to talk myself into the Nevers. So I'm going to give that thing a shot for sure. Before we get into one of my recommendations, Fredtastic314 says, after Jurassic Park, I'll never read a book before I see the movie if I can help it. It is so hard to remove the book during a first watch of a film. Yeah, I don't disagree with you. It's one of the reasons why I don't have as much love for Silence of the Lambs as other people do, because the book is so damn good that the fact that they didn't adapt it completely faithfully, in my opinion, keeps me from loving that film as much as other people. But if I'd seen that film first, I think I would have loved it, and then the book would have augmented that love already. So yeah.
Agreed.
All right. And, let's see what I've got here on the list. Oh, so, my recommendation is, of course, Star Wars, The Bad Batch, Wendy. That is, the second episode dropped today. I don't know if you've done your reaction for it already, but it is out there. I'm going to get a chance to watch it sometime later today or tomorrow morning, and enjoy The Bad Batch. We're going to do our Geek Buddies review of it on Sunday. So look for that dropping on Sunday with Laura Kelly and the crew. But how have you felt the show has started? I'm excited. I love it. Bad Batch is John Roca's Star Wars, for God's sakes. You know, defective people trying to figure out where they fit in the real world. This just speaks all my volumes. And they all look like they're a cast out of the movie Predator. So it's 1,000% my language. What did you think about it?
They need a clicking sound from the Predator.
That's all they need.
Or red dots.
Wrecker.
Come on, little lasers. I really enjoy what I've seen so far. I will say I liked episode 1 better than episode 2, but I understand that this is a marathon. This is not a sprint. We have 16 episodes to get to. And with the Bad Batch, with them not really having, you know, any sort of like original series or origin story other than what we saw in the Clone Wars season 7, they need to have a little bit of a setup, especially with the addition of Omega. Who is she? What is she about? Like, there's so much more to learn, especially with what we saw at the end of episode 1. Mm-hmm. So I think these first 2 episodes, maybe even the first 3 episodes, could potentially be a little bit more like, let's set the groundwork for, you know, this group and their character and their adventure. And then it's just going to take off. And when it takes off, it's going to be so good. It's kind of like when you watch the first Clone Wars seasons, like, you know, it's a show for kids. It starts out, you're kind of like, well, okay. And then boom, it can get dark. You're going to cry. You're going to laugh. You're going to scream. I think, we're in for, it's going to be a good one.
How long is the second episode? Is it back to the 25-minute one, or is, because that first one was 72 minutes.
Yeah, it's not 72 minutes. It's short. It's shorter. I think with credits, like 27, 28.
Oh, perfect. Perfection.
Yeah, that's absolutely digestible to me. 72, absolutely. I was like, I love Star Wars, but also I'm tired and I want to go to bed.
That's for sure.
Trying to do my reaction.
Joseph Asher says, do you have to watch Clone Wars first to understand Bad Batch? It does help you to understand Bad Batch, but just understanding the mythology of Star Wars overall is going to help you. Here's what you need to know. There were clones. They were created on Kamino. The Regs are the regular clones. The Bad Batch are these five anomaly clones that were created. That's all you need to know. And it's set right after the prequel trilogy, and it's the beginning of the Galactic Empire. So it's right when Palpatine has come into power and has taken control of the universe. There you go. That's all you need to know. So enjoy watching it from there, Joseph. All right, what's your next thing to recommend, Wendy? And I'll throw one last one in, and then we'll wrap up.
This one's a fun one. I wanted to throw something in that was outside of our usual media, like TV and movies. So this is a video game. It's an indie game that I found on the Nintendo Switch, and it's called, the best title ever, Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion.
What?
That's the title. It's a cute little indie game. It's by Kazoo Studio. No, I'm messing it up. I shouldn't say it. But the animation, it's kind of got that 8-bit look. It's kind of like an overhead view. So it reminds me a bit of like Legend of Zelda adventure puzzle type of a game. And you play a little turnip, and your name is just Turnip Boy. And you are being accused of evading taxes. And those are all the characters. The one holding the little sword, that's your character. And those are all the other characters that you get to meet. You have an avocado. You have a mayor for an onion. You get a blueberry friend. And it's very cute. It's very meta. It's a cute little story. It's a short play. Like, you can probably finish it in 3 hours.
Wow.
But it's a lot of fun. I was streaming it on my Twitch channel. I think we finished it, I think it was last Sunday was when I beat the final boss. So,
oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of fun. I love the animation and I love the music. The music, get it for the music. I think if you have the Nintendo eShop, it's like $9 or something like that. Like,
oh, wow.
Really low. Okay. And I like supporting indie games because, you know, something different. Support the creators. So I highly recommend, if you're just looking to step away from your usual Fortnite or Call of Duty or your Cyberpunk or whatever, just get something really cute and different and have a really interesting story. I suggest Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion, if anything, for the title.
I love the title, for God's sakes. And taxes are due soon for those of you who got pushed all the way to the middle of May.
Did you file? I filed.
Sure. Moving on. My last recommendation.
Are we going to make a game about John Roca commits tax evasion?
Please, God, no. The last one I want to recommend is one I started last night. I don't want to bring the show down too much, so I'll just like throw it out there for you all who are interested in it. Holy Mary, Mother. I'll tell you in just a second, but it's called Sons of Sam. I think all of us over the last year, I've seen so many people get into like true crime and serial killer stuff and documentaries about it. This is a new Netflix documentary exploring whether the Son of Sam from the 1970s, that serial killer in New York in the 1970s, was actually the person who committed all the crimes they tried to pin on him, or was this part of a satanic cult and it was connected and they used him essentially as a patsy to take the fall for what they had done over the last year and what the New York Police Department did to either cover it up or not follow the leads when they presented to them. And they also follow this author who spent a majority of his life writing about this stuff until he passed from a heart attack. So they're re-exploring what he discovered and going back through this information and these leads and finding out what the deal is. So if you're into the serial killer stuff, if you're into this true crime stuff, already the first two episodes, absolutely engrossing. I think it's only 4 episodes, but it's a fantastic watch. It's on Netflix right now. So just a little what I recommend there if you're into something for this week, if you wanted something like this weekend for sure.
How long are the episodes? If there's
an hour, an hour.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
Mm-hmm. It's easily consumable. She had to stop me last night because she knows how I get. Like, I'll stay up till 3 a.m. It drives her insane. The Lady Outlaw, she's like, nope, we're cutting at 10:30 and we're going to bed. I'm like, all right.
Good on her. Good on her.
Yeah, exactly. Good on her because I wake up tired.
I'm actually glad you talked about this because I saw a couple of the like just teases yesterday, and I was like, wait, what is this about? But you just, you checked all the boxes for me. I was like, oh, true crime murder, done.
Yeah, and it's not like the Night Stalker one, which was not as good as I was hoping. This one's actually damn good and engrossing, and you get like actual interviews and audio of these interviews with the people that he was talking to at the time. So
well, the Night really Stalker, they stuff. Turned it, they all of a sudden at the end of it turned it into like people's obsession over him. And I was like, no, but he's bad. Why are we talking? Yeah. Why are we focused on this part of it?
Yeah, I don't want to know that women wanted to bang this dude. Come on, he killed people. He's a terrible person.
And now they're like, oh, he's so good looking. I'm like, where? He's a monster. He killed people. He's several people very violently.
Real quick, Brian Brawler giving us some love. Thank you, Brian. He said, I see you, Wendy, repping indie Nintendo games. There are some hidden gems in the Nintendo eShop. Wendy, have you tried a Katana? It's also very cheap.
Ooh. I'll add that to my list. Now that I'm trying to stream a little bit more regularly on Twitch, I'm always down to play something other than like Animal Crossing. So I love my Animal Crossing, but I don't know if my audience keeps wanting to like watch me play Animal Crossing.
Brian, thank you so much. What a very kind
donation
to send in. And certainly you might have steered Wendy onto the Katana stuff. And look, this is why Wendy and I started the show. I wanted to do something new and different. I asked Wendy to be a part of it. And Wendy's like, we got to talk about this, this, and this. I'm like, this is great. Awesome. Expanding the scope of the Outlaw Nation, talking about things that we wouldn't normally talk about. And Wendy's the perfect person to talk about these kinds of things. And we'll be getting more and more people who are into gaming as well and into these kind of things that might open the door to me trying this once and for all, for sure. Yeah, Christian wants to know, Wendy, what's your Twitch so they can follow you on Twitch?
Oh, thank you. Twitch.tv/WendyLeeZaney.
There you
go. It's just my name, but with Twitch.tv in the front.
I'm on there too. I've never played one. I haven't done one damn thing on there. You can find me. The Outlaw Nation is on there. So I gotta get on there.
You're not gonna do anything on it?
I should. I don't. I've got like 200 something followers. And I haven't done anything on it ever. So,
Roka, you sleeping on it. We got to fix that.
Want to see the old man playing Twitch? All right, I'm down.
How does this work? Sean, if Sean can help us, we could do a group Among Us one night.
Oh, yeah, I'm down.
That'd be fun. I'm not good at it, but I'll play.
Maybe we'll put this on there, like a special version of the show on there for sure. One last Streamlab. Drunken Prayer says, no comment, just want to support the new show. Great to have Wendy as part of the Outlaw Nation. Absolutely. Oh,
thank you. And a super sticker.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Norville Ross. Whoa. Very kind of you. I love it. Right at the end as we're wrapping things up here. And thank you all so much for enjoying our debut episode of John and Wendy Explain the World. We really appreciate all taking the time. We had over 100 of you all watching us live. If you're watching it later on, please hit that like button. Leave a comment down below the likes and the comments. Elevate the visibility of the show. And this is one we're committed to. So we're going to be here every week talking about this kind of stuff. So if there's something you want us to look at, you want us to explore, is there a section of entertainment you feel isn't getting enough love, we're open to it. So leave the comments down below and maybe tweet at us as well. Speaking of that, Wendy, thank you so much. What an awesome show. Where can people find you and everything you got going on?
This was so much fun. I can't wait to do it again next week. You can find me everywhere, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Twitch. Just if you search Wendy LeeZaney, you'll find me.
There you go.
And the movie couple. Oh, my God, I forgot. Follow the movie couple right here on YouTube.
There you go. Right there in the corner. Follow the movie couple, absolutely, for all their reactions and their reviews and all the great content they do on there as well. And yes, Joseph Ashley, this will be every Friday, 3 p.m. PT. That's our plan. So we will definitely be doing that every Friday. Have a little fun. About a 90-minute show every week and getting your comments and your thoughts as well and reading them on the show as we go along with all the topics. Please, if you want, you can follow me at The Roka Says on Twitter and on Instagram. But more than anything else, if you like the show and you're new to the channel, maybe you took a chance because Wendy has come over and done this show, and then please hit that subscribe button down below and hit the bell as well so you know when the new content is dropping here on the Outlaw Nation channel. We appreciate it madly. All right, take care of yourselves. Thanks to our producer, Sean Barreto, for being in with us, and much love to all of you. Take care of yourselves. I hope you're practicing your social distancing and getting yourself vaccinated, and have a great weekend. Hope you enjoy some of the content we suggested for you, and then come back and see us next week for another brand new episode of John and Wendy Explain the World. Take care.
Bye, everyone.